This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. This week, 10 South Florida cities sued Governor Rick Scott. They want to enact their own gun control ordinances, but a 1987 state law that was beefed up in 2011 doesn't allow local governments to pass their own gun laws. The mayor of Miramar wants to make a new 5,000-seat amphitheater a gun-free zone. Miami Beach's mayor wants to keep guns out of City Hall. The mayor of Coral Gables wants to ban the sale of assault weapons. The Pompano Beach mayor wants to regulate gun shows at public facilities. But if they take those actions and their city councils agree, they would face a fine up to $5,000 and they could be removed from office. Coral Gables, Cutler Bay, Lauder Hill, Miami Beach, Miami Gardens, Miramar, Pinecrest, Pompano Beach, South Miami, and Weston are the cities suing Governor Rick Scott. Should your city have stricter gun laws than the state of Florida? That's where we begin this week on the Florida Roundup. Eric is from Boca Raton.
If we allow local communities to create and enforce localized laws, legal gun ownership would be near impossible. The variations in laws as you travel through these local communities would set up a legal nightmare in trying to abide by them.
Imagine crossing city lines and having different laws for a firearm. David from North Miami left us this message.
I do believe that our communities should be able to enact local gun measures to protect the people without taking anyone's right to own a gun. I'm for banning assault weapons, enacting higher taxes on guns and especially bullets, to make it too expensive to own excessive weaponry. I think we should require a medical certificate and a psychological exam to own a gun.
Should your city have stricter gun laws than the state of Florida? A central question that the Sunshine State is debating after the Parkland tragedy at Stoneman Douglas High School. This is where we begin, and with your input, always welcome, 800-743-WLRN. Toll free on the phone at 800-743-9576. Also send us your thoughts on social media. Find us on Twitter at WLRN. We will begin with the lead plaintiff in this lawsuit against Governor Rick Scott and the Attorney General of Florida, Pam Bondi. That is Weston Mayor Daniel Sturmer. He is back with us here on the Florida Roundup. Mayor Sturmer, nice to have you on. Thanks for coming back on the program.
Good Friday afternoon, Tom.
You as well. Thank you, Mayor. Why file this lawsuit at this time?
Let me begin by saying, if not now, when? The horrific events of February 14th once again brought into focus the need to have reasonable and responsible measures done with regard to firearms on the local level. And local level means counties and cities. Neither of us are permitted, pursuant to the current law, to do anything. Because if we do, there's a preemption, which preemptions exist in various parts of the law and are enacted by the Florida legislature every year. The difference with this one is, in 2011, personal penalties were enacted against local elected officials should they dare to do something that their local community wants.
But you're suing not just because of the penalties, though. You're suing for the ability to actually have the right to have city halls and county commissions make policy changes different than state law. It's not so much just about the penalties that you would face, but you'd still like the ability to make those changes, wouldn't you?
Would we like to? Yes. But the main thrust of this lawsuit is with regard to the personal penalties. But there are counts in the lawsuit, yes, and I'm a firm believer in those counts, that would allow us to regulate firearms locally, yes. And let me also be clear, Tom, this is not about taking away people's Second Amendment rights or taking away their firearms. This is about reasonable and responsible restrictions.
Talking with Weston Mayor Daniel Sturmer, the lead plaintiff on a lawsuit with the mayor, the city of Weston, and nine other municipalities in South Florida, suing Governor Rick Scott and Attorney General Pam Bondi over the preemption law that does not allow local governments to pass their own gun laws, or else they would face personal fines and possibly be removed from office. Katie Swietalski is along with us here, Mr. Mayor. She covers Broward County for us here at WLRN. Katie, you were at the announcement with the mayors. Noticeably absent, though, Coral Springs, a neighbor of Weston, and of course Parkland, which was the location of the tragedy at the Stoneman Douglas.
Yes. And at the announcement, one of Coral Springs' city commissioners was present, Dan Daly. And that was a good question for him, is why didn't Coral Springs join, and do you know why Parkland didn't join? And Commissioner Daly's response was, what I know right now is that Coral Springs is looking at its own individual lawsuit options. They might want to sue on their own. But as for Parkland, it's Weston City Mayor that drafted this complaint and said, you know, Parkland has been asked. Everybody was told about this lawsuit, but, you know, they just haven't made up their mind yet. So they may join, but they may also choose to sue on their own.
Mayor Sturmer, what have you heard from your neighbor, Parkland?
Let me, and Katie, thanks for accurately reflecting what happened the other day. But let me suggest the following. The city of Parkland and its elected officials and its residents are going through a process that the rest of us hate to even think about. And they have significant and important issues to get their lives back in order, to get the students that attend Marjorie Stoneman Douglas back into a facility in a safe and reasonable fashion, and to attempt to return their community to normalcy. At the moment, they have much more important things to do than focus on a lawsuit. You know what? The lawsuit's going to go forward. If at some time Parkland has the inclination to join us, we welcome them. But right now, I give Parkland a free pass because they're focusing on getting their community healing and back on track. And that is much more important for them right now to focus on than adding their name to a lawsuit. Respectfully.
We're speaking with Western Mayor Daniel Sturmer, the lead plaintiff on a lawsuit against the state of Florida filed on behalf of 10 municipalities. Your thoughts here. Should your city have stricter gun laws than the state of Florida? Would you like it to? 800-743-9576 in South Florida, 800-743-WLRN. Mayor Sturmer, let me ask you, the central argument that you're making is what in this particular case?
Sure. With regard to what we call the super preemption, in 2011, the personal penalties that were added to state law that would allow the governor to remove from office an elected official who does something. A court could fine an elected official up to $5,000 for doing something. Mm-hmm. And that elected official could be personally responsible for legal fees should affected individuals sue the city and the elected officials. No public funds can be used for the fines or the payment of the legal fee, so it's the personal responsibility of the elected official. Back in 2015, Palm Beach County sued the governor, and a court has already determined that the governor does not have the authority to remove county commissioners. That is unconstitutional, pursuant to the Marcus case, because of the separation of powers. And the same argument is being made here, that the governor doesn't have the authority. It's interesting. In other parts of state statute, the governor has the ability to suspend elected officials, local elected officials, if they're accused of a crime.
Absolutely.
This, should we dare to pass a local law, we get removed? How is that worse than being alleged to have committed a crime?
So the argument...
The onerous restrictions... Sure, go ahead.
Right, so the argument that you're making, Mayor, here is, as you call, the super exemption, super preemption, pardon me, the super preemption of the penalties faced by locally elected officials should they take action that would be, in addition to or run contrary from state firearm laws specifically.
Correct. Let me also say the following. Every year, the Florida legislature passes preemption bills.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, including
right.
this one.
Right.
None of them have the provisions like this.
So
this is the only one in Florida law that does, and one wonders why.
We know
the answer why, but...
Yeah. Katie, what did you hear from the other mayors who spoke? I mean, I ran through a list of... some of these locations that some of these other mayors would like to make gun-free zones, or some of the other actions that they've taken. Coral Gables, for instance, has debated this already at the city council level.
Yes, and Coral Gables actually had a temporary law for about 3 weeks trying to ban the sale of assault-style weapons in the city. And then because of this preemption law, they kind of had to walk it back.
Yeah.
They were forced to take it away. But some of the things the other mayors want to do is they want to have the option. They're kind of standing there with their hands tied, like, this is how many emails I'm getting every day from people asking me to do something, and I'm feeling very powerless. So it's almost, in their argument, is it the will of their residents? You know, they want to be able to represent their voters.
So, Mayor Sturmer, in addition to your goal and the goal of the lawsuit of doing away with this super preemption, is it not correct to also state that the goal of the lawsuit is to make clear that local municipalities can make their own gun ordinances?
Yes. That is the intent.
And with that intent, wouldn't it also be possible for local municipalities, if you're successful, to take action that would ease gun restrictions further than state law?
One, anything is possible once people have the ability. I've received, since the lawsuit was filed, a number of calls from young people around our state who have said, are you looking to make it difficult for lawful gun-carrying people to go from city to city? You're looking to ban guns in your city. Let me be clear. No city that I'm aware of is looking to ban firearms in their city. What I'm looking to do in the city of Weston, and other mayors have said the same thing, is we're looking to have the right to regulate firearms in publicly owned buildings and facilities. Should you come into City Hall, should you be allowed to carry a firearm? Should you go into the Public Works building, should you be allowed to carry a firearm? What's interesting is today, if you have a concealed weapons permit, you're allowed to carry your firearm into government buildings.
Right.
Except for into a city or county commission chamber when that governmental body is meeting.
Right.
Most people don't even know that. So you can stand in the hallway outside of the meeting and carry your gun. Inside that room, you can't do it. My question is, staff and elected officials are in the building all day long, coming and going. Why shouldn't we all be protected every day, all day?
Well,
and you know what? There'd be clear signs posted outside of those facilities that say firearms allowed or not allowed.
That leads perfectly, Mayor Sturmer, into right now, and I heard a couple of mayors say this, if you wanted to put up a sign that just said, please don't bring your gun into City Hall,
mm-hmm.
That absolutely breaks the law. Just a sign breaks this preemption
Correct.
Law and leads to these personal penalties.
But I guess what I'm Correct. Asking, Mayor Sturmer, I appreciate what you're saying regarding more stringent local ordinances, but couldn't a city, if your lawsuit is successful, couldn't a city or a county go the other way and have easier local
No.
restrictions than
No, no,
the state?
No, we can be more restrictive than the state. We can't be less restrictive than the state. I mean, Mayor Raul Valdez-Faldi wanted to bring forth an ordinance that prohibited automatic weapons.
Sure.
In his city. And as Katie said, there was a brief period of time where that may have happened and then got walked back. I think we understand that there are certain regulations that exist. And we know, based on the passage of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act during the last session,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
certain things are changing in the political space with regard to firearms, and that's a positive. Let me suggest also to call local elected officials childish when we're trying to protect our communities and respond to the requests of our communities is unfair and a little childish by the person who's saying.
I just want to be clear, Mayor Sturmer, if your lawsuit's successful, what you're saying is it would allow local municipalities to prohibit guns at certain public places, but it would also prohibit municipalities from easing gun restrictions further than the state.
We cannot make things easier than the state does. The state sets the floor. We can make things tougher.
Okay.
And again, and if it goes away, cities would have the right to. No one says they have to.
Yeah.
Because we are a very diverse state. Differences between our counties, our cities,
yeah.
northern Florida,
yeah.
southern Florida. No one's looking to create a one-size-fits-all like we currently have. And that's part of the issue. You know what? When the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill was being debated, in the legislature with regard to inclusion of arming people in schools, whether it's teachers or others.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I fought for the bill was there was a home rule provision in it
mm-hmm.
that allowed local school boards and sheriffs to decide what was good for their community. Gosh, the legislature delegated to local school boards and sheriffs that decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not give it to us as well?
Yeah,
it shows the diversity of our state.
Part of the compromise there for that act to pass. Yes, the red and the blue state. In fact, Mayor Sturmer will be talking about that next hour with former U.S. Congressman Republican David Jolly and former U.S. Congressman Democrat Patrick Murphy on our statewide program. Mayor Sturmer, Daniel Sturmer, Mayor of Weston, thanks so much for your time, Mr. Mayor. Always nice to have you.
Thank you, and have a great Friday afternoon to you and your listeners.
You as well. We asked our listeners, should your city have stricter gun laws than the state of Florida? Michael G. in Miami, no, I do not want separate gun laws. The new law can be rolled back with or without the local prohibition privilege and should be 18 to join the military, he writes, 18 to go to jail, 18 to purchase and possess a firearm. Terry from West Palm Beach, no, I do not. I want my community to uphold and enforce the law that exists. Omi from Palmetto Bay wrote us, while I would prefer the entire state to have sensible gun laws that protect our children in public places, I would be in favor of my community having the ability to do so. Vivian from Hollywood sent us this note.
Even though I think there is going to be major changes in the November elections, I would still like my community to have the right to ban assault rifles, have extensive background checks for people buying guns, and be able to remove guns from people who are mentally ill or exhibit violent behavior.
You can add your voice, your conversation, 800-743-9576 here on the Florida Roundup. Tom Hudson along with our Broward County reporter at WLRN, Katie Swiltowski. Also some action this week on a gun show, a long-standing gun show on a municipal property in Broward County. What's the latest here?
Yes. So this past week, the Fort Lauderdale City Commission had a conference meeting just in part to talk about this longstanding gun show. It's run by Florida Gun Shows, and they run gun shows all over the state, even in Miami. And it's been happening at the War Memorial Auditorium at this one building in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
For more than 30 years.
Yeah. Longstanding.
And yeah. Now, basically, the City Commission has been persuaded to end the lease with this gun show. They've had a lot of protests. And since this was going on since before Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and the shooting there, since the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting, there have been growing protests against the gun show.
This is a bit of part of the mayoral and the city council election that was just completed in Fort Lauderdale.
It was. Yeah. And Mayor Dean Chantalis.
Former councilman, now mayor. Yeah.
Yes. He'd been saying on the commission for quite a while since the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting, you know, we should end the lease with this gun show. And it worked in his favor for the election.
Yep.
But now the city's basically trying to find out how to get out of this gun show without breaking this preemption law.
So they're concerned that if they break essentially what's a business agreement, they may run counter to the preemption law, which is directed at gun ordinances at the local level.
They could. That's if they choose to end the lease before it ends naturally in November.
Which is when? November of this year. All right.
And the city has said, you know what? Our plan is we're going to respect the lease, but once it ends in 6 months, we're not re-signing.
That would be it. Response from the gun show?
Oh, yes. And so I spoke with the owner of Florida Gun Shows, and he was telling me, you know, I consider it the city commission's responsibility to find me a new venue.
Hmm.
And he says, look, if there's a good venue and they offer me good lease terms in 6 months, sure, I'll move tomorrow. I'll move in 6 months. But if November rolls around and there's not a new venue, I'm going to go to court.
Local laws over guns. Should cities have stricter ordinances than the state? What about a gun show on municipal property? 800-743-9576, the telephone number. We'll begin with your calls. Joe is on line 2 in Miami. Joe, thanks for holding on. Your thoughts here.
Yeah, how are you? Listen, I just want to make a point. Marion Hammer helped push this law because the fact is if you allow municipalities...
Joe, let me just interrupt. Marion Hammer is the state of Florida NRA chief lobbyist.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. And she helped push this through to help not criminalize law-abiding citizens. Think of this. If someone from Port St. Lucie County wants to drive to Key West, he could drive through a municipality, get pulled over for a traffic violation, and become a criminal if that county's or this valley's laws don't agree with the north of the state. So what are you going to do? You're going to make somebody drive off of the turnpike and go to another municipality? Yeah, what if he doesn't know? That's what this was done for, so that you cannot criminalize law-abiding citizens traveling through the state of Florida. If every municipality was allowed to make their own gun laws, how are we going to transfer
right.
the state?
Joe, I got
I
it.
Mean, really,
yeah, in fact,
yeah,
Mayor Sturmer talked about one of the arguments in the lawsuit is to make those have city halls, for instance, public buildings, to be able to have city councils and county commissions talk about guns being present at those public buildings, not necessarily on roadways and those kinds of things that Joe brings up. But certainly it is one of those points of contention. Oscar in Miami on line three. Oscar, thanks for holding on. Your thoughts here.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I have three comments. Comment number one is, if we have all these different municipalities with widely divergent gun laws, you might be a law-abiding, gun-carrying person. In one municipality, you cross the street to Hialeah, in my area, I'm in Miami,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you're a criminal. I mean, this can lend itself
yeah.
to a huge amount
Oscar,
of confusion.
Let me just stop. I want to hear your other 2 points, but that's what Joe, the previous caller, was talking about. And Katie, I think what I heard from Mayor Sturmer was, the goal here that the mayors have who are supporting this lawsuit is to enact local ordinances that govern firearms in public buildings, in city buildings and county buildings.
Yes, all of the mayors in this lawsuit, that's their goal, you know, for auditoriums, for city hall, public parks.
So this idea of crossing a street with a concealed weapon from one municipality to the other, that is unlikely to run counter to the effort of this lawsuit, as we understand it.
Yes, the
only city that runs exception
is Coral Gables, and they're trying to ban
the sale of assault
inside
weapons.
Of the city.
That's right, yeah. Go ahead, Oscar.
Well, that kind of brings me to my second point. I'm a physician, and so I deal with people who come to my office who I believe should not have firearms, but that's my third point. My second point is, I go to a hospital, and outside the hospital there's a little sign that says, no guns permitted here. So if I have a concealed carry permit, which I don't carry a firearm, but I go into that building, I believe that would be an infringement. That would be against my concealed carry permit. I think it's and I look at this hospital and I say, man, some kook could walk in here, start blasting away, and maybe legitimate physicians or other staff who come here who have a concealed carry,
right.
Well, they have to leave theirs in the car or wherever.
Well, right, and
Oscar, the cooks never follow these little
yeah.
signs.
And that's the argument that we hear about these gun-free zones in schools and other places, that doing away with those gun-free zones would allow law-abiding citizens with concealed weapons, for instance, at least have perhaps the opportunity to stop one of those kinds of tragedies. Oscar, you mentioned you're a doctor. I'm going to guess your third point is regarding the Glocks and Docs and your ability to talk with patients and parents about the presence of firearms in homes.
I violate that law continuously, and I ask my patients about firearms.
I believe
safety.
It's, well, it's been thrown
it,
out,
so
you're not...
Let it be on the record for whoever's listening.
All right.
I do not follow that.
Oscar, so noted. That law, I believe, got ruled unconstitutional, as a matter of fact. Let's go to a few more calls here real quick. Abraham in Fort Lauderdale. Go ahead, Abraham. Your point real quick.
I just want to make a comparison why these city-by-city laws aren't effective for the same reason that state-by-state gun laws aren't effective, is that if one weapon is legal, for example, in Georgia or Connecticut, you can just cross the state lines. We needed a national solution, and we're just bringing in the gun problem nationwide into Florida itself. That's all.
Good point there, Abraham. I appreciate that. Delray Beach, Barbara on line five. Go ahead, Barbara. You're on the radio.
Hi. I'm calling because I just wanted to say that I don't know if Floridians are aware of how extreme and unusual their gun laws actually are compared to some other areas of the country. I spent a long time living in the Northeast, and for example, when I was driving down here recently and passing through Fort Lauderdale, there was a billboard with a child on it with an automatic machine gun, and it said, you can learn how to shoot a machine gun at our facility. Hmm. It was like an entertainment recreational kind of ploy, and it was shocking. It was absolutely shocking to everybody who was in the car with me.
Well, you know, there is a good reason why the Sunshine State has the nickname of the Gunshine State as well. Barbara in Delray Beach, thank you for your thoughts. Katie Swatowski, what do we know about the next steps of this city lawsuit? It's been filed in Leon County, which is where Tallahassee is. It's the governor and the attorney general who are the counterparties to this lawsuit.
Governor, attorney general, and Commissioner of Agriculture, Adam Putnam.
Who is the one who is
his
responsible
office is
for
in charge of licensing,
gun licensing,
concealed carry permits.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right. Katie Swatowski covering Broward County for us here at WLRN. Lots more to come, including town halls on gun violence this week and clear backpacks on campus at Stoneman Douglas High School. 800-743-WLRN. School security is up next on the Florida Roundup. 800-743-9576 when the Roundup continues. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks, as always, for listening. This week, the students at Stoneman Douglas High School all received new backpacks. It's part of the security measures put in place after the February 14th mass shooting. The new backpacks are made of clear plastic, and some of the high schoolers showed how they feel about their new backpacks, like only teenagers can. Filling them up with feminine products, for instance, putting an orange price tag of $1.05 on them, representing the amount of NRA contribution money received by Senator Marco Rubio per student in Florida. One student even stuffed a sign inside that read, "This backpack is probably worth more than my life." Now, the school has not put in metal detectors, but the district is thinking about taking that step. Broward County Public Schools Superintendent Robert Runcie spoke with WLRN's Luis Hernandez earlier this week on Sundial.
This is not a permanent solution. It's a part of a series of steps that we're going to be taking. So, yes, we have the clear backpacks now, but we're going to be moving to metal detecting wands as the next phase, and we'll probably try to get that in within a couple of weeks, and we'll see how that goes, and that may create an opportunity for us to relax the need for the clear backpacks. And then, you know, we may look at transitioning to metal detectors.
So metal detectors and or clear backpacks. Those security measures won't be isolated at Stoneman Douglas and Parkland in Broward County. Some and others may be used at other schools.
So ultimately what we will do is to create a standard for all schools across Broward County. Our pathway to do that is through a district-wide security risk assessment, which we will start shortly and complete by this summer. And then we will have community conversations around it, conversations with our school board, and then we'll come to some prioritization and consensus of what type of security measures we want across our schools and do that in a consistent and equitable way across the entire county.
There were also county conversations this week in Broward and Dade County, two town hall meetings held in South Florida talking about gun violence. Stoneman Douglas student Leonor Munoz was at Congressman Ted Deutsch's town hall in Coral Springs Tuesday night.
It's right around this time when the shock has worn off and the depression is setting in that a lot of us are not doing well. And I want to know what is being done to ensure that trauma-trained psychologists are available for every student at Marjory Stoneman Douglas.
Christopher Powell told Congresswoman Frederica Wilson's town hall Thursday night in Miami that he grew up sheltered in Coral Springs, but he says that's changed since he survived the massacre at Stoneman Douglas.
After the shooting on February 14th, I now have a different sense of security.
School security, clear backpacks, metal detectors, metal detecting wands, 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Katie Swatowski covering Broward County is still with us here. You can join us, 800-743-9576. Katie, I'm going to go to Enrique in Sunny Isles, who's been holding on. Enrique, thank you for your patience. Your thoughts on school security today.
How are you doing today?
Doing good. You're on the radio, Enrique. Go ahead.
Good. Yeah, you know, it's really, for me, I've always been against guns, and I think nowadays it's an epidemic. It's happening every day. It's happening everywhere. So in my point of view, a school is a place for kids. So it doesn't have anything to do with the Second Amendment or with anything. You know, kids are not allowed to have guns, period. So why not have a better, you know, security, have metal detectors. You know, in Brazil, I'm from Brazil. In Brazil, mm-hmm. you will see tons of places that they'll even have double doors. So that person will be locked in a chamber in between, not being able to access, you know, the bigger population. You know, once you get to an airplane that has 150 people with you, you have X-ray, body X-ray, all kinds of security measures. Any school in Miami-Dade right. or Broward.
So you'd like to see metal detectors.
1,800.
You'd like to see metal detectors at all the schools.
At least. It's a public place, you know, and for kids, there is no business to have any kind of gun in any school, period.
Yeah. Enrique, we get it. Thanks for holding on and giving us that. You'd like to see metal detectors at all public schools. Katie Swatowski, you were at one of these town halls. Talk to us about how the conversation went regarding school security specifically. These town halls were really about, you know, gun violence, but I know in Broward County you can't help separate that from the still fresh tragedy in Parkland.
Absolutely. And these town halls, it's a movement set off by the students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas that started March for Our Lives, and it's the Town Hall for Our Lives movement that sparked this. So Parkland's Congressman Ted Deutsch hosted the town hall with local officials, but mm-hmm. school board members were noticeably absent. Hmm. They had their own Broward County School Board meeting, but most of these security questions...
They had a meeting at the same time?
Yes.
Okay, regularly scheduled?
Regularly scheduled gotcha. Meeting okay. happening at the same time,
noted.
But they were not present
sure.
because of that.
Right.
So most of the questions that came at this town hall were from Marjory Stoneman Douglas students regarding school safety. And by far, you know, I think local officials did what they could, but they kept referring these students to school board officials. Mm. So that was a noticeable disappointment by the crowd.
Your thoughts here, 800-743-9576. There was still a very fresh tragedy as well.
A lot of students really bared their souls at this mic. At this town hall I was at on Tuesday night, students really said, hey, look, you know, public testing is coming up in a yeah. week. How are you expecting me yeah. when you keep telling me I don't have to be over this
yeah.
to do well?
And the town hall came, they just came back to campus after a week-long spring break, regularly scheduled spring break, with these new clear backpacks that were handed
and
out.
And ID badges.
ID badges. And we all saw social media pictures and video in news reports about kind of corralling students in certain ways. Did they talk about these security measures that have been put in place in their absence?
There were multiple questions and complaints about the clear backpacks at the town hall I was at on Tuesday with Ted Deutsch. And one of the students yesterday actually blew up on social media for making his clear backpack a fish tank, filling it with water and fish. So these students are coming up with really creative civil disobedience ways to tell people, you know, and they're being very clear about it. I don't think that this is the solution. Why won't you have a panel with students to hear what we think?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a movement that you'll see soon. And Congressman Deutsch said, look, I'm going to facilitate a meeting between you and the school board because you clearly have a lot of feelings and your student body wants to be heard.
Lots of conversation still in this community about guns. 10 cities suing the state over the ability to provide local ordinances regarding firearms. City of Fort Lauderdale talking about the longstanding gun show at a municipal property there. And, of course, school safety as well this week with town halls and spring break ending in Broward County and students coming back to Marjory Stoneman and elsewhere. 800-743-9576. Let's go to Wilson in Miami Lakes on line two. Wilson, thanks for holding on. Your thoughts on this.
Sure, yeah. Same thing. Kids are kids. They're being dealt a bad deal. When I was a kid going to school, I had no fear of being shot by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we were worried about after school fight. That's all. Now, guns are so easily available because of these people making laws back and forth, stand your ground, all kind of nonsense.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that the gun advocates would say a stand your ground law is associated with the availability of firearms.
Yeah, you know, of course, that's what they would say because they want everybody, even an unborn baby, to get a gun.
Well,
That's how they feel.
All right, Wilson, thanks you for your thoughts. Katie, go ahead.
I do think it's important to know that Parkland and Coral Springs area is very politically split. It's almost 50-50 in terms of liberals and conservatives. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you're going to see a lot of that when
and
it comes
gun ownership
to how
cuts across
this.
Political class as well.
Yes.
Here in Florida.
Absolutely.
And elsewhere. Right. I mean, gun ownership is not red or blue, registered Republican or Democrat. It is a personal choice that households and individuals make in the state of Florida. Rosa in Fort Lauderdale talking about the gun show at the War Memorial Auditorium. Rosa, go ahead. Your thoughts.
Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to say that I live a few blocks away from Holiday Park, which is the park where the War Memorial is located. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that gets lost in the shuffle. The War Memorial is a municipal building that is smack dab in the middle of probably the biggest and the busiest park in Fort Lauderdale. I go to that park all the time. I take my four-year-old niece. The playground is maybe 500 feet away from the War Memorial. There are little league teams playing. I see elderly people doing Tai Chi. The community uses the park all the time. And when they have the gun show, you have all of these people that go to the gun show that park in the park. There's no differentiation between the park and the War Memorial.
Absolutely, Rosa. Thank you. And that's the main argument that I think a lot of citizens made at this special meeting this week, saying, look, you know, right next to soccer fields and baseball fields are these kids playing. So the hope is when the city suggested the Broward County Convention Center or an alternate location for this show, it would be farther from parks and schools and children.
Yeah, and the Convention Center is kind of tucked away on the north end of Port Everglades, for instance.
They also, it's up to them if they want to take on the gun show or not. But historically, since 9/11, they've chosen not to host gun shows because of extra security checks.
800-743-9576. Francesca in Miami Beach on line 5. You're on the radio. Go ahead.
Hi. So two things. One is I'm an educator, and I have never in my life heard of any student that thinks that having metal detectors at school is a good idea. It only serves to make kids feel like they're criminals and there's something wrong, and it increases the sense of fear. It does not produce a sense of safety. I've never anywhere heard a kid say that that's what they want. The second thing is I've been living here a long time, but I'm not from here. And the thing that really strikes me about the tone of the conversation is that everybody is afraid of everybody else somehow down here in a way that I didn't experience where I grew up. And we're not afraid of the way I grew up. People aren't, that's just not the first thing on your mind is being afraid that the other guy has a gun or whatever. And so this fear-based mentality where everybody's on a hair trigger ready to react to the other person is not something that I see in most other parts of the country, to be honest. It's something very particular to this part of Florida. And I think that really affects the conversation in a way that people aren't aware of, because a lot of people haven't lived anywhere else, so they don't realize that there's another way to be.
Astute observation, Francesca. Yeah, pretty interesting. I'll tell you, I'm not from here either, but lived here a good long time. And one of the first things a friend of mine from Florida said when we were moving to Florida was be careful about how you drive in Florida, in South Florida especially, not because of the traffic, because of concealed carry. Was his point. But Francesca's first point about kids not wanting metal detectors, what are we hearing about the students from Marjorie Stoneman? I mean, they don't like, a number of them have poked fun at these plastic backpacks, saying they're an invasion of privacy and really kind of minor security steps. But have they been talking about metal detectors and the lack of them or any kind of desire for them?
So several students spoke out about metal detectors at Tuesday's town hall, and all three or four that did speak out about this in particular said, we don't want to feel like we're going into a prison. So that point of kids feeling like they're penalized and they're being criminalized for something they didn't do is very present in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas population.
Katie Swatowski covering Broward County for us here at WLRN. Thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We got more to come here on the roundup. After two tragedies hitting South Florida, we'll look at the public's right to know the details behind those events. 800-743-WLRN is the telephone number as the roundup continues after this. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. 911 calls, emergency radio dispatches, transcripts of police radio traffic during the response to the Stoneman Douglas shooting have been released to the public, at least portions of them. So has some video from outside the school. But a judge is still considering whether to make public more video. The Broward County judge here in the case, Jeffrey Levinson, will watch the video and decide what, if any, will be released. News organizations, including the Sun Sentinel and WLRN's partner, the Miami Herald, have sued requesting the release, but the Broward Sheriff's Office, the school district, and some victim families do not want it public. So how important is the video to assessing the public response? And what's the balance between the public's right to know and the prosecution of the shooter? 800-743-WLRN is our telephone number, and Nick Nehamas is along with us, investigative reporter for our partner, the Miami Herald, with us from our studios in Doral. Nick, welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Tom.
So where does this lawsuit stand, and really what's at stake? What video is this suit after?
So the video that the media would like to view would essentially show the response of law enforcement officers outside the building attacked by Nicholas Cruz. The news media has very clearly stated, and, you know, agrees with the state and with the victims that, you know, interior videos showing the actual carnage that took place, you know, no one needs to see that. Anything that could jeopardize the prosecution of Nicholas Cruz, that's not what we're interested in either. The media has made a very narrow request to see where law enforcement officers were placed and what they were doing while the shooting was going on and while students were potentially wounded inside the building.
So I will admit, obviously, WLRN is a member of the media. We are not party to this lawsuit. We are a partner with the Miami Herald, which is among the parties suing over this. We do not have anybody representing the counter to this, but haven't we seen some of this outside exterior video already, Nick?
Yes, we've seen some limited video of Deputy Scott Peterson, who was a school resource officer at Stoneman Douglas, who first responded, and Sheriff Scott Israel said that Peterson stood outside the building instead of going in, and the video confirm that is in fact what happened, and,
right.
and going in is the training in these active shooter situations. But Peterson was not alone, according to sources that we've talked to and that our news partners have talked to. There were other first responders, BSO deputies, who did not initially go in. And so we're trying to figure out why that may have been the case,
right.
you know, where exactly they were. Peterson, of course, resigned, but, you know, there's very much an open question about how well law enforcement dealt with, you know, a chaotic, awful situation.
Yeah.
And really what the media is interested in is how, you know, can law enforcement respond to these situations in the future? What are the lessons we can take away from this in terms of saving lives?
You mentioned how the question about video inside the school is not being pursued here. But one of the arguments against even this exterior footage is that it could show a kind of security blackout spots of where, you know, cameras can't cover or were not able to cover and could provide, you know, information for other nefarious activity.
Yeah, that's an argument that the school board attorneys
right.
Made in court. It's not an argument that won out over the judge last time. The media is requesting about five or six cameras,
okay.
external cameras out of 70 on the school's campus. And remember, this is a building, they show a building that won't be used in the future. So, you know, the school board said, well, this could reveal information about other schools and their security systems, but that did not seem to sway the judge.
What kind of timeline do we have here for Judge Levinson? He says he's going to watch the video in his chambers.
It will probably take about 2 weeks for BSO to redact the video, compile the video, and then redact any students. And then,
so the students will be redacted from the version the judge sees.
Yes, they will. And then the judge will view it, and if he decides it could be released, it could take as long as another 2 weeks after that. So it could be as long as a month, but it could be closer to 2 weeks.
Another tragedy separate from the Stoneman Douglas is, of course, the FIU bridge collapse, with a lot of public records also associated with this. And you've been working on some of the public records requests trying to find some answers about design, a possibility of changes, engineering, construction. What have you encountered as you've tried to gather some evidence here?
Well, we've encountered a lot of roadblocks from FIU and the Florida Department of Transportation and Sweetwater, which are the three agencies, the city of Sweetwater, which mm-hmm. had responsibility over this project. You know, we feel very strongly that the public has a right to know about the process that went into the construction of this bridge. But almost no records have been released. The three groups are citing a federal law that potentially prohibits the release of information relevant to a national, to an NTSB investigation.
Yeah, National Transportation Safety Board, which is the lead investigatory agency on the bridge collapse.
Exactly. And our attorneys don't feel that exemption actually would hold over documents that pre-existed any investigation. So the lawyers are going back and forth, okay. And in the meantime, the public doesn't have information.
Nick, want to take a quick call here. David in Fort Lauderdale talking about public records. Go ahead, David.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, so schools are paid with public funds exclusively. Those videos belong to the public. No matter how bad the carnage is, they're still public records. And they should be released 100%, uncensored.
Uncensored. David, appreciate that. Nick, that goes further than what the Herald and the Sun Sentinel and CNN are requesting in the Stoneman Douglas case.
Well, I appreciate the caller's sentiment, but, there are limitations, especially when it comes to surveillance video that's held by a government about how much of it is public record. A judge really has to rule that there is good cause and a public interest for it to be released. When he released the video of Peterson last month, he did rule that there was good cause to release it. We are trying to show the same thing with this more expanded video, but I'm not sure what good it would serve the public to see this murder actually take place. I do think there is an argument when in terms of trying to judge how well law enforcement responded.
And Nick, then back to the FIU bridge. One of the areas that we've been asking a lot of questions, of course, is the role of the Florida State Department of Transportation, which initially kind of backed away from its responsibility here. Is it the vessel of much of these records or not?
It does seem to hold much of these records, and to FDOT's credit, they've worked with us much more. We haven't really gotten much yet.
Time's ticking away, Nick. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you short, but Nick Nehamas, investigative reporter for the Miami Herald, with us in Doral. Nick, always great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Tom.
Finally on the roundup this week, as part of the April Poetry Festival O Miami, WLRN has been asking you for your five-line poems about where you live, using the digits of your zip code to determine how many words per line. We call them zip odes.
Hi, my name is Brittany. I live in Hallandale Beach, Florida, zip code 33009. My zip ode is walk to beach, standing room only, snowbirds and spring breakers, sardines on the sand.
Hello, everyone. This is Sandeep. I live in the city of Sweetwater with the zip code 33172. And here is an ode to my code. City of Sweetwater, between Doral and Westchester. There is really not much to say about it.
My name is Laura Figueredo, and I currently live in North Central Florida, but my last Miami zip code was 33186. And this is my poem. Wrought iron grills on every window, but I have yet to see anything as guarded como el corazón de mi madre.
My name is Zoe. I live in Buena Vista East Historical Neighborhood, and my zip code is 33137. A kestrel lives in the Poinciana, but it's the mockingbird that attacks my dog on afternoon walks.
Hi, my name is Charles from Miami, 33015. My poem is, it's Dade County, it's Wade County, and Trick Daddy love the kids.
If you're feeling poetic about your zip code, you can write your own zip ode at wlrn.org/zip odes. That'll do it for the Florida Roundup this week. It is produced by Bridget O'Brien. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontato is our digital director. WLRN's news director is Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. WLRN's program director is Peter J. Mertz. Our technical supervisor today is Jason Zabka. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for calling, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting WLRN.